Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the American Overlander podcast. I'm your host, Will Fowler. I'm here with my best buddy, Chris from Frontier State Overland. Chris, it's awesome having you on the podcast as usual.
Hey, Will, it's great to be back, man. It's been a while.
It has been, yeah. So today we're going to talk about a few things. Like, we're going to get caught up on what we're doing this year, the different routes we might take, events we might go to. And then if we have time, we might get into this really sensitive subject, which is rig selection, because I am currently planning on doing a new rig build this year. So
I know for a fact that Will is seriously considering a 1993 Chevy Astro van.
Dude, when I was a kid, my dad had an Astro van. Like, my dad had this sprouts business. He would grow sprouts, like alfalfa sprouts and bean sprouts and things he'd like use in salads and sandwiches and stuff. And he delivered them to all the grocery stores and restaurants all around the Treasure Valley in Idaho. And one of the things he had, one of his early delivery vehicles, was an Astro van. And I have like very specific memories of an Astro van, and I will never buy one.
That Astro van that smells like sprouts. That just sounds perfect. This says Will Fowler all over it. Anyway, sorry.
So Astro vans, is that anything with the word Astro in front of it? Just, I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with it. Make what you will of that. But Astros aside, let's talk about what we're going to be up to this year. There's a lot that we have planned, and there's a lot that we don't have planned. I think we're leaving a lot of room in our schedules for just improvising this year. So let's start with what I think is our biggest adventure this year, which is Oregon.
Yes. So we had kind of looked at a little, well, you know, last year doing the Idaho BDR, that kind of whet our appetite for some of these longer expeditions. And so, I don't know if anybody else knows this, but Will and I, we grew up mainly in Idaho, but also lived in Eastern Oregon too, in a little town called Ontario. And so,
which is why, by the way, Ontario is like right on the Snake River, which separates Idaho from Oregon. So Ontario is as close to Idaho as you can get and still be in Oregon. It's basically Idaho with no sales tax. Like the culture, the economy, all that stuff is very, very Idahoan. And the biggest town close by is Boise. And so it's still kind of a sleeper community for Boise, or, you know, a part of kind of the greater Boise outlying areas. It's not really attached to Oregon as much as you might think, because it has the word Oregon in it.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people, when they find out that, yeah, I went to high school in Ontario, they're like, oh, that should really be part of Idaho. And now there's that greater Idaho movement too. So who knows, maybe it'll happen, but no, it won't happen.
No chance.
Yeah. But the Idaho BDR kind of whet our appetites a little bit. And so you and I were just kind of hanging out and talking and kind of threw around the idea of what if we did a kind of a modified Oregon trip, except for going from like north to south, going from east to west, maybe starting, you had the idea of starting in Hell's Canyon. And then of course,
wait a minute. So I want to get into this, but like, we have to be honest. We weren't thinking about doing our own route to begin with. Like first, we were thinking like, let's go do another BDR. That was so much fun. Let's go do another one. So we thought about, oh, well, let's maybe Wyoming. Wyoming's one of the newest ones. And we thought, well, that would be really scenic and beautiful. Rob from Revere really wants to do Nevada. I think he's doing it with or without us. So maybe we'll be part of his Nevada BDR trip. So we really looked hard at Nevada. And then we found out that they were going to be releasing the new Oregon BDR route. And this just happened. It was like February, I think, like the second week of February that it came out, and it's March now. And we were like on pins and needles waiting for the BDR route to come out. I mean, we were going to have like a viewing party because we were so excited. And when the route came out, we were kind of disappointed. And this is not to knock the BDR people. but we were really hoping for something that was more east to west. And it's like exactly what I was afraid it was going to be, which is just like, you know, north to south, just connecting two routes. If you look at the Washington BDR route and you look at Nevada BDR route, it's, you can kind of guess where the Oregon BDR route is going to go. And it goes through some really beautiful country in Oregon, but we've driven so much of it already. Mm-hmm. Like we've just been through Oregon enough times that we were a little disappointed. So that led us to think, well, what would actually make a really awesome Oregon trip? And that would be going like starting in the mountains and ending on the ocean. So anyway, I just wanted to give that preface to kind of how we started looking at doing our own route. So please go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah. And you're totally right. We had waited just when we found out that the BDR, Oregon BDR route was going to be released. It was a countdown to it. And then it just, you know, I'm sure it's perfect for, the guys on the adventure bikes and, you know, gives them what they want. And so we decided, well, yeah, let's do something for us. And, mm-hmm. You know, Oregon, especially like if you're running from east to west, you traverse just so many different landscapes. You know, some of them that people don't really, associate with Oregon. You know, you have some, really cool high deserts and, you know, of course, you know, mountains, and you start getting to like the Willamette Valley and it's just lush and green. And, we basically decided that, you know, we'd come up with our own route to bring in a little bit of each one of these landscapes.
Yep. I think there's like three different climates you go through. There's kind of mountains, like what we think of as like Western forests, like Rocky Mountain forests, and actually Rocky Mountains. And then there's the kind of high desert. Then there's like the desert. And then there's like the Cascades, which is like temperate rainforest into the ocean. And so that the amount of change that you experience from east to west, I think is pretty special. And the idea of ending on the ocean, I'm not convinced we can camp on the ocean anywhere. I was, but I think the places that we were looking at maybe don't allow camping on the beach anymore. It's really rare in Oregon that you could actually drive your rig on the beach and camp. There's places where you can drive on the beach, but there may not be any places where we can camp. So we're going to keep looking really, really hard at that. But the route, I'm like so excited about it. Like, I know I say that about everything, but like, I'm so excited about this route because I think it's going to have some of our very favorite things, a bunch of new things, and then just some stuff that's just going to blow us away.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know, when we were first like pretty new into overlanding, for Keith's birthday, we did a trip and we went through the Blues outside of Baker City, and it was a route that you had found, and it was, it's not far from Ontario or Boise, honestly. And we found our way into like, you know, this forest that was just really cool. And I had, you know, no idea that it was back there. Cause every time I go through like Baker City in that area, I always look up at the mountains but I'm always like on my way to like the Oregon coast or something. And so it's just, you know, cruising by as fast as I can. And so I'm just really excited about, you know, kind of diving into some of these areas and really seeing them. And, you know, like with Idaho, we were just, you know, our minds were blown constantly just by all the different scenery and the mountains and the different types of forests and the little towns. Yeah. So, this is going to be great.
So you and I are kind of like at the beginning stages of doing the actual routing, which is another change for us. Like, we're no strangers to routing our own routes, but going from BDR, which is all kind of preset, to basically like making our own BDR, is a challenge. It's a great challenge. I think we're both up for it and we're having a lot of fun, but I think we're kind of right now we're mapping like a bunch of different alternatives. And it's been really fun kind of talking with you about points of interest and which direction we might want to go. You know, we were talking about maybe starting at Hell's Canyon. Then there's the Wallawas, there's the Elkhorn Mountains, there's the Strawberry Mountains. You know, I don't know that we can do them all. So we got to kind of figure out how we want to pick and choose the things that we see. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited what we've put together so far. I think we're like maybe a quarter of the way in with just our kind of rough draft. So, that'll be the work that you and I will be doing over the next few months. Okay. So that's the Oregon route. We are also going to do, or we're going to attempt, this route called Sinker Creek. Now, for those of you who live in the Idaho area or in the Boise area, you've probably heard of Sinker Creek because it is a place where people like to go test their rigs. There's Lost Trail, I believe, and there's Sinker Creek. And Sinker Creek is really cool in my mind because there's like 45 creek crossings. It's basically this route that goes through this creek on the way up to Silver City, essentially. So it's out in the Owyhees, and it's really, really tight trails. There's lots of overhanging trees and things. So it's kind of like you can't be afraid of pinstripes. And the trail is just full of obstacles, full of water crossings. And it's super beautiful because you're in this kind of river canyon, little river gulch leading up to the Owyhees. It's not very long, but it's one of those that's not very long, but it probably takes you all day. So I think we're definitely going to go back and do that because we wanted to do that in our last trip video, the Silver City video. So there's a video that I just published, I think last week, about this trip we did at Silver City, which is a ghost town. Then we went down to Three Forks. Well, the original plan was to like do Sinker Creek, like do some hard trails on the way up, but it was so late in the afternoon and we really had to listen to our wives and our own kind of inner reasonable person to like give that piece of the trip up and try again. So definitely doing Sinker Creek.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting this year too, because it's been a very wet, snowy winter. And, with all that many, water crossings, you know, it could be, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, dude, it's March. And it's like, there is a blizzard outside right now. So I cannot imagine the kind of snow that's packing up there on the Owyhees, which is going to be, you know, I think about Idaho in general, it's going to be good for fire season. I think it'll maybe will suppress some fire season, I hope. But it'll make any early season travel very, very dicey, including our Oregon trip. Okay. So there's Oregon, there's Sinker Creek. There's this idea that we had that would be to retrace kind of our original route, that you and I did where first overlanding, we covered this in a previous podcast, like the story of how we started. And it's up and over Bogus Basin, which is a local ski hill. You kind of ride the Boise Ridge, you go down through Placerville. We made our way through over to Deadwood Reservoir, which we will not do again. We'll find some place else to camp besides Deadwood.
Yeah, I was just going to ask like if we could drag you back to Deadwood or no if chance. You are done with Deadwood.
Done. I'm done. We can stop and have the kids go swimming or something, but I'm not staying there. I'd rather camp somewhere on Deadwood River or Creek or whatever it is, you know, and have a little more peace and quiet. And then up through either Yellow Pine, it was pretty great, or that was like the original route, but the original trip was up to another ski mountain, Brundage, outside of McCall, Idaho, and then up to this 8,000 foot mountain lake called Hazard Lake. And I have actually been back mapping around Hazard Lake, and I have found some what I think will be incredible camping spots. So it wouldn't be the same. It would be the same route, but it would feel very, very different, I think. So that's one. And then we have been talking back and forth with some potential travel partners about doing some Eastern Idaho mountains. I don't want to say who the travel partner is because I'm not sure if the trip will happen or not, but it would be pretty great. I think we'd have a lot of fun. I think everybody probably knows who this person is if I were to say the name of the channel, but that would be doing kind of Eastern Idaho mountains, like the Tetons and maybe like the Lost Mountain Range, the Lost River Range, or the Lemhi's or the Pioneers. That's all kind of central Eastern Idaho. And those are the biggest mountains we have. They're 12,000 feet and up. So that would be a really fun trip. And that would be a little probably later in the summer, I think. Okay, and then okay, so then the next one on the list is Glacier, and Glacier is actually, this is a Chris and Elsha push. You guys like are pushing us, and I'm glad to be pushed to go to Glacier National Park. So I've rarely been to a national park. I think I've been like two national parks, and so I don't know, like what is it about Glacier that it draws you and Elsha there?
Well, it's funny because when Elsha and I first got married, you know, we hadn't gotten to overlanding at all, and we'd like to do a lot of like backpacking and camping and things like that. And so one of our goals was to visit all the national parks. Well, I don't know, that's kind of changed a little bit in recent years, just from, you know, like how packed they are. The national parks are beautiful, and they're, you know, definitely an important part of our country. But they're just like, there's so many people there. And, you know, through overlanding, we're used to kind of being out in the middle of nowhere with as few people as possible. However, Elsha has really wanted to go visit Glacier for a really long time. And so we had planned last year, but then the campground we're going to stay got flooded. And so we're giving it a try again this year. Some mutual friend of ours and yours were able to get some campsites. And so they invited us to go too. And so we're going to give it another try.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that. And some of these trips may or may not have trailers from X-Grid campers. So for those of you who watch the videos, you will have seen two trip videos where I took out this really cool camper from X-Grid campers, which is a dealership out of Las Vegas. The trailer I took out was called an Expedition Voyager. So Expedition trailers, and the model was Voyager. And it was really, really cool. And so I've been just chatting with the folks over at X-Grid to potentially take out some other trailers on trips. And so I don't know 100% that that'll happen, but one of these trips that we're mentioning may have a trailer or two, depending on, you know, timing and the kind of trip that might fit with the trailer, and whether or not they're mad at me for scratching the last one with mud, because we covered it in so much mud. I called the owner, and I was like, dude, my mom raised me to like bring things back better than you found them. And I did not do this, and I'm really, really sorry. And he was like, oh, no, it's no problem. We'll just get it cleaned up, you know, no big deal. And I was like, yeah, it was really bad, though. Like, it was really bad. And he's like, oh, it's no big deal at all. And then I got a text from him, like, I don't know, a week later or something. He sent me pictures, and he was like, it's really bad. And I was so sorry. Yeah, I was like, I am so sorry. I was like, what do you want me to do? I'll make it right. Like, you know, I'll pay for transport costs. Like, you know, what do you want me to do? And he was totally cool. He's like, no. You know, he's like, I just wish maybe we would have talked about how to clean it, because I think maybe you accidentally scratched it when you cleaned it. And I was like, I don't think it was me cleaning it, because he hadn't seen the video yet. And I was like, I think it was like the 4 inches of mud and rock and lava rock that were caked onto it. And, yeah, you know, like I didn't scrub it. I just sprayed it with a sprayer, and, you know, I shoveled, but I did shovel off mud because I had to shovel off the mud. And so I'm sure that probably scratched the vinyl a little bit too. He was so cool. Like he could have been really, really angry. And even if he was really, really angry, he didn't act angry. Like he was totally cool and gracious. And so, you know, but if they're reluctant to give me another trailer, I totally understand why. Okay. So, we talked about Glacier. I'm editing a video right now of a trip that we took in the late summer, early fall to a place called Boulder Basin. And Chris, why don't you talk about Boulder Basin a little bit? Because you're the one who brought me there first.
Yeah. So it was, and I don't know if we would even say that we were even into overlanding yet.
Nope.
Like you had just got your rig, you just gotten Finn, and you had like the stock, I don't know, it was like a budget lift on it. I can't remember.
It was a FabTech lift, but and FabTech's not a terrible company or anything, but this was not a good lift. It was a body lift. I think maybe it was just a bump stop lift with no shocks or new springs or anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it did have shocks on it. It had Fabtech shocks on it, but I think stock springs. So it was not great for what we were doing out there.
So long story short, I'd found Boulder Basin. My in-laws have a place up there. And so I was just kind of like looking around and seeing which trails are near. And I stumbled on Boulder Basin because it had like a ghost town. And mm-hmm. at one point it was like Idaho's highest town. And so it was just like historically interesting. And I was looking at all these different pictures of it. And I was like, wow, that looks amazing. And I don't think that any of us had any idea about what we were getting ourselves into. No. I contacted you, and you hadn't met JP at that point, I don't think.
No.
And so the three of us decide, yeah, we're going to get together and we're going to run Boulder Basin, and just totally like wet behind the ears as far as like this type of off-roading.
I think I had an air compressor, maybe. No, I don't think I did. I think I used JP's. He had a ARB twin
on board.
Piston. Yeah, so I didn't have anything.
Well, and it was funny because we thought we were prepared, but we took some water, and yeah. I don't think we took any snacks or anything. Like we just thought it was just going to be like, you know, an hour or two to do this entire trail. And it also didn't help. Yeah, I know it's not far, right? So we're cruising along, and we had aired down and everything. To kind of make it a long story short, we got to the top of the shale road and to this area where there's kind of a ledge you have to go up to really get to like the upper part of Boulder Basin. We couldn't do it. We took like a bad line or something. And so we had to do this crazy turnaround on this like single track trail. And
that's right. Because I remember JP's Forerunner was like on three wheels, on two wheels, and we were like trying to hang on a side so it didn't get too off camber, just turning it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that. We came back. That was a kind of our first experience. Then we went back the next year with our like better prepared rigs and better prepared for off-roading, because we'd been at that point, that was like my first year into overlanding. And we went up, but we went up in the night. And so we climbed it no problem, but we didn't really, I didn't really get to record it. In terms of video, I made a video, which is an okay video. It's one of my very, very early videos. But it does kind of show some of that stuff up there. And then we went back again. So then we came back a third time this fall, and I will not spoil the video, but I will say that we went back with a couple of Toyotas again with another Forerunner, Nick from Zagrunner. We love you, man. And we're always going to give you a hard time about your rig, and we expect you to do the same to us. So Nick was there in his super pretty, beautifully pristine red Forerunner that's fully armored and ready to go. And Lance was there in his Tundra, which I think he had 35 inch tires at that point. But he hadn't done any kind of like approach breakover or departure angle work on his truck. No armor, nothing like that. But it's a pretty mean rig, and he's a good driver. He knows what he's doing, because he's been off road a ton. He's had FJs and Jeeps and all kinds of stuff. So he's not just a truck guy. So we went up again. That video is coming out in the next week or so. Like, I'm in the middle of editing it, and it's really fun. Really, really fun. It was really nice to have Nick there, because he's a really good cameraman as well. So some really neat footage. So I think we're going to go back to Boulder Basin.
Yeah. And it's going to be kind of a redemption run for a couple of guys. Some with the same rig and some with the new rig. So
I think anytime we go up there is a good time. And Kate's never been. So it would be good to get Kate in the rig and get her up there to Boulder as well, because I think it's just a beautiful place. Okay. So that's Boulder we're going to do this year. We're going to try to find some new areas in the Owyhees. So we love the Owyhees. Clearly they're like half of our videos are like us out gallivanting around the Owyhees. We have definitely found new places, but we have tended to like go to some familiar places. Like I think we've been to Three Forks like 4 times.
And it's
beautiful. I mean, on video 4 times, it's beautiful every time. And it's, you know, it's just a really, that's why we keep going back, because it's so pretty there. But I think it's time to like venture out and mm-hmm. find some new undiscovered places. There's a bunch of routes out there that I'm really excited about, discovering and trying out. And so I think we'll be gallivanting some more around the Owyhees. I'm really hopeful that we get out earlier this spring in the Owyhees to catch it when it's green. We're like really green, like mid-May. I think it'd just be phenomenal.
Yeah, lots of wildflowers and stuff out there too. And you know what? This just kind of like when you're talking about that, it would kind of be a chance for us to do a little bit of a redemption run too. When we did that Birch Creek Ranch trip and then came back through Rome. And that guy told us about how we couldn't take a certain route. And so we ended up like circling around and going into Three Forks. So maybe that can be something where we go and give this alternate way in to try.
I mean, I'm always game for Three Forks, clearly. So we'll see. We'll see how we put that together. I have some ideas on if we did like an extended weekend trip and we did 3 or 4 days on the trail, there might be some really cool stuff that we can string together out there. But that's unset. We just know we're going to go out there and we always find ourselves out there. So expect more of that. Then I forgot about this, Chris, when we were making notes, and I just wrote it down because Gary G from BC is coming down in May. He's coming down in May and we're going to go do some kind of a trip. He wants to see more of Idaho. So he's going to come down. And I got to tell you, I am so excited for that dude to come down. He's like a brother. Like he's part of the, he is ride or die, part of the crew here. He's somebody that we really bonded when we did our trip from Boise to Bend for Overland Expo Pacific Northwest last year. Just had such a great time with him. Just such a chill dude. So kind, such a good human, easy to travel with. And also really funny and just our sense of humor is all matched up and it was just one of those good fits. And so, I'm hopeful that we'll do some fun stuff with Gary and maybe we'll see him in Glacier. I don't know. Maybe he can pop down. We'll see. Maybe we'll see him, because we are going to go back to, Overland Expo Pacific Northwest. That is the only event so far that we've agreed to be at. So
yeah,
I keep getting asked, are you going to this event, that event? And the answer is no. I'm overlanding. That's what I'm doing. I'm overlanding. I'm not going to events except for Pacific Northwest. We had a great time there last year. And so we'll be back. I don't know. What's your feeling about going back to Overland Expo Pacific Northwest?
You know, I'm really looking forward to it. It was, you know, a different experience, like just camping with all those different rigs, but that was part of the fun was checking out everybody's different rides and then just kind of being there and all the camaraderie with a bunch of overlanders. Everybody was super fun and nice and chill. There was nobody that was up in the middle of the night, you know, blasting music and, you know, whooping it up or anything. I mean, people did stay up late, but they tended to be like, just kind of like hanging out and like talking. And so there was like a murmur all night of like people like chatting and stuff. But it was kind of, it was cool. It wasn't annoying. And then, you know, just the fact that like last year, there was one point where I remember you, me and G were walking around and we were like, oh, is this it? Well, we had only like seen like maybe a third of it. And so you're like, realize like, oh crap, there's so much more. And so in the end, I'm not sure that we saw everything. And I'm guessing that this year is going to be bigger than last year. So
yeah, I think so. I'm so excited to go back, dude, because I know what I think I want to do. I was just kind of like seeing and experiencing for the first time. And I made a video of my time there, which I think is okay. But I think I might make multiple videos this year. So I pitched Justin from Factor 55 on this idea, and I don't know if it's gonna get clearance. you know, at Warren or not, because ultimately he's like the brand manager for Warren now. He manages and other brands. There's like five brands that are under kind of the same company as Warren. And so he's kind of like moving up over there, Mr. Big Time, Justin at Factor 55, yeah, which is so Justin. Awesome. Yeah, he so deserves it. He is so good. Like, he is so good. He knows so much about recovery. And we shot a video together this year where I went over and had him look at my recovery bag. And the video's done really well. And it's really informational. It does highlight their products because they are a sponsor of my channel. And clearly in that video, it says this is a, you know, there's sponsored content. But that wasn't the focus of the video. The focus of the video was really like, understand your gear, understand what's dangerous, understand what these ratings mean. And Justin is so good at that. And it was so fun for him to go through my bag and kind of ridicule my choices. I pitched him on this idea to do that.
By the way, he was ridiculing you.
Oh yeah. On camera, he was
in a good natured way.
Off camera, he was brutal. But I pitched him on this idea of doing that at Pacific Northwest with other people's bag. So it's like, what's in your recovery gear bag with Justin from Factor 55? So, you know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot who doesn't really want to be on the spot. So I asked some of my other creator friends if they'd be into it. And so I think the idea is to go stop over at some of our creator friends' booths or rigs and do a what's in your recovery bag. So that would be really fun. The other thing that I really want to do when I'm there this year is try to capture the spirit of the ethos, which I don't think anyone's done yet. I think that people go and make technical videos at these places, or they'll just do like music videos, you know, of their time there. And there's probably somebody out there who's done exactly what I'm talking about and done it really well. And, you know, if that's you, or if you know the person who's made that video, I just haven't seen it yet. But I really want to go and try to capture the ethos and the community of what's happening there. Because it's one of the few times when a bunch of Oaklanders come together, a bunch of lone wolves, you know, like it's like, we don't like this, but this is our tribe. And so like, we want to be around our tribe. We want to be around other people who don't want to be around people. And so I want to do like rig walk around with people because there's so many interesting builds that show up. And maybe just walk around campfires and things and hang out and just meet people. To me, that's really, really important because I think that's one of the coolest things that we didn't get to do a ton of because we were like on a schedule last time.
Yeah. Well, it takes me back to, do you remember? Of course you do. The Weezer Fiddler Festival. Yes. So in little town of Weezer, Idaho, they have this fiddle festival like every year. I don't know if they still do it or not. And that makes me, you know, a horrible Idahoan.
I think they do.
But I do. I hope so. And so one of my favorite things to do was I never went to the actual competition or the actual event. Like the thing that I like to do was like at night was walk around to the camp and you got people just like hanging out and playing music and talking and around the campfire. And so it'd be fun to kind of see if we can kind of do something like that at Overland Expo Pacific Northwest. So maybe not the music, but just walk around and just like, you know, chat with different people. And, you know, this last time we weren't even trying and we made some new friends, some people from, you know, all sorts of different walks of life and different ages. And, it was a lot of fun.
We had a party, dude. We had a party. One of my favorite moments was, when Nathan Muller came over. So Nathan Muller has an overlanding channel, Nathan Muller Overlanding. And he had at the time a Tundra, I think he still has one. And he's since opened up a business called Legends Overlanding. It's based out of Baja and they do like luxury, overlanding tours through Baja. It's really awesome. Like the stuff that he's doing, the stuff that they're putting together there, it's like really, really good. But he came over and we were hanging out. He and his wife came over, just to the back of the Jeep. One night there was kind of an Idaho contingent that came over and we were all just hanging out. And my favorite moment was like, he had like a can of beer, you know, and he was drinking his beer and he finished it. And I was like, hey man, do you want another drink or something? And I was kind of going through like, we have this, we have that. And he reached into his pocket and he pulls out another beer and he was like, I have a beer pocket. It's like, yeah, course you do. What a brilliant move. I don't leave camp without one in my pocket. It was great. So we'll be doing Overland Expo Pacific Northwest again in Bend. No idea how we're going to get there, but I know it's going to be interesting. I think we might be like rushing over from Glacier National Park. So that's kind of what we have specced out so far in terms of trips for this year. Did I forget anything? Did I miss anything?
Well, I don't know if you want to bring it up, but at one point you were thinking about you were looking at the possibility of doing a meetup. So
I do want to do that this year. So thank you. I just got to figure out how to do this meetup. I've been asked a lot a lot of people have asked, can I go overlanding with you? Can I go on a trip with you? Like, I hope to wheel with you. And I totally get that impetus. And it is like so flattering and so amazing that someone would like watch one of our videos, feel like they know us enough to like actually want to go spend time with us on the trail. Like, to me, it's like such a massive compliment. But the reality is that we don't know them. Like, we don't know them at all. And so it's really a hard thing to be like, yeah, sure, let's go. And then it's like, wait a minute, I don't know this person. I don't know if we have anything in common, if we have shared values, if we travel the same, you know, so there's all these potential problems with just going on trips with people you've never met before. That's not anything I've ever done or really ever want to do. But I do want to meet these people. I want to meet people. I want to meet anybody who watches my videos and watches us, you know, on those videos, Chris. I would love to meet them. I would love it, but just not like that. Not like on a trip with my family. And so that's where I've been kind of thinking about having a designated time where people can come and hang out. We'll do a camping trip and it'll be kind of a group event. Anybody who wants to come can come hang out on a weekend, be a subscriber meetup, or not even a subscriber, just like a meetup. And there's some things that might make it more valuable that I haven't quite ironed down yet. So like, should we do a trail pickup as part of that? You know, like, let's, as long as we're all together, let's do some good for the earth. Should we try to partner with a nonprofit and do some good with those people? Maybe we can raise some money, for a good cause or something like that. These are the things I'm kind of thinking through, but I think there are a couple places that we have specced out that we would, maybe just send GPS coordinates to and say, hey, this is the day we're going to be there. We'll have the barbecue running. We'll see you for two nights or for a night or something on this place and just see who shows up. The other, little bit of anxiety I have about it, Chris, is that, it's kind of like if you threw a birthday party for yourself and no one shows up. You know, it's like, you know, I'm so nervous about being like, hey, who am I? You know, like, who am I to say, hey, come hang out with me for a weekend or come hang out together for a weekend? I don't feel like I have that level of, I don't know, even, you know, I don't know. So I'm super nervous about it'd be like, you know, one person shows up for 45 minutes and is like, nah, this is not as cool as I thought it was. And then they just leave. Well,
I think you're guaranteed to have, you know, at least one person there, and that's you, possibly Kate. Yeah. I might be able to join for a little bit if you know you give me a patch or something. I don't know, but just from like reading the comments and stuff on a lot of your videos, I think that you would have a pretty good turnout. And I think it'd be fun. There's a lot of folks, you know, in our area that, you see a lot of overlanding rigs. And I think if word got around, you'd have a good turnout.
Let's now shift gears literally quickly to talk about rigs, because 2023 is a year that will include a new overlanding rig build for me. So I love my Jeep Finn, 2013 Jeep Wrangler JKU Sahara that has been heavily modified at this point, an AEV suspension on it, 35-inch tires. It's got front and rear ARB pneumatic air lockers on it. that are all working now. I got them all fixed. They're all working. a number of like interior modifications, you know, air compressors and power lines and things like that. It's really a nice overlanding setup. It's really dialed in for what I do. And yet I think it has 80,000 miles on it. So it's not like it has a ton of miles on it. I don't put a ton of miles on that, but they're all off-road miles. And you know, it's 2013 and I'm kind of thinking might be fun to try my hand at doing a new build. And so I have not written the check yet. I am definitely leaning a certain way on a rig, but I have not written the check. I have not bought this rig and I'm open to other possibilities. And so I will be heavily engaging in exploring other rigs over like the next 3 weeks, really is my decision point. So like, our buddy Lance has a Bronco now. Spoiler alert. He has a Bronco. So I'm going to try to get some time in his Bronco driving that. Our buddy JP has a Taco build with a King coilover suspension on it that I think he still has it. I hope he does.
I do too. Boulder Basin.
Yeah, Conquer Boulder Basin. Yep. Yeah. You have a Gladiator. You know, I'm just going to pause after the word Gladiator because that's like the ultimate overlanding rig. And I'm not committed to anything yet. And I'm not saying that the thing that I'm leaning towards is a Gladiator, but it seems like why wouldn't you get a Gladiator? Like everybody has a Gladiator. Everybody I know has a Gladiator because they're like the ultimate overlanding rig. They're easy to build. They're less expensive to build than basically any other rig because you don't have to do a ton even to get 37s on it. You can carry more. There's awesome aftermarket support for that. And so I'm hoping to really investigate closely your Gladiator, which is named Pixie.
I did not name that. It's actually my wife's Gladiator. So she got to choose a name. And I won't bore you with the whole scenario behind that. But yeah, we love it. And, you know, the diesel Gladiators have really kind of captured my imagination too. I don't know if that's on your short list or not.
100%. But. Yeah, absolutely. 100% a diesel Gladiator. I think this is why I want to play with one because I think they are maybe better on paper. I hear that there's some maintenance things that if you don't stay up on, they can get a little squirrely. In terms of like they'll go into limp mode sometimes on hills and things like that. So, but I think that has to do with like regular diesel maintenance. I think if you're up on your maintenance and you keep a clear air filter and I don't know all the components of diesels, honestly, but the torque that they have, I mean, it's just so good for overlanding. That low end power is so good for overlanding. And you know, I've got a family of four, man, and my kids are not getting smaller every year. They are not getting smaller, especially my son. He's growing like he's 7 and he looks like a 10-year-old right now. So
yeah, he's a giant.
So I got to figure out the space thing as well, which is also why I'm interested in hanging out with X-Grid campers out of Las Vegas because a trailer might be something that I consider as part of this new build as well. I don't really know, but you know, having a trailer like that, X-Ventures Voyager or Expedition Voyager, it was amazing. It's like,
that was an amazing trailer. Yeah. That suspension on it when we went to Jarbidge was just, it just ate everything up. And it did. He let me drive Finn towing it. And it's like, it wasn't even back there. And Jeeps are not great at towing. So
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm definitely going to investigate. I'm going to try to document it too. I'm going to try to be as open and transparent as possible about, you know, what I'm looking at. I really don't want to say the thing that I'm really leaning towards yet, because I do want there to be some kind of surprise at the end. But I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one, and whatever it is, it's going to be a new build. I don't know if I'm going to keep the JK. Part of me really wants to keep Finn. He's like my first love, you know, and the kids love that Jeep. So I don't know if I'm going to get rid of it or not. I had some friends reach out. They're really, really close friends of ours. And they were like, they're chatting about a video or something that I saw. And I was like, when are you going to come out with us? When are you going to get a Jeep and come out with us? And they're like, well, we rented a Jeep in Hawaii and it was amazing. And I was like, so did we, yay. And like, I was like, you know, I might have a spare Jeep in a few months because I'm not sure I'm not sure I'm going to get rid of my Jeep right away. Maybe you could just drive that. And they were like, yeah, that would be great. So I don't know. It might be fun to like have some of my friends come out with us for the very first time and just kind of like record their experiences overlanding for the first time and be a good use of,
that's a good point.
Of the JK. Yeah. Of Finn. So I'm not quite sure. I don't know 100% that my next rig will be a Jeep. I just want to say that very clearly. I don't know 100% that my next rig will be a Jeep. But I am a Jeep guy. I think I would be doing myself a great disservice if I didn't fully investigate all the other options because it's a ton of money, dude. It is a ton of money to buy a new overlanding rig.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, now there's like getting to be so many different options. Like you said, the new Bronco, that thing, you know, I went out with Lance this weekend just to kind of see it and it's awesome. And then, you know, like you said, you can't forget about the Toyotas. So there's a reason that they have such a loyal following. So maybe instead of a Gladiator, you know, a Tacoma or the new Nissan Frontier.
Or a 4Runner, you know, like 4Runner. Nick from Zagrunner has a really nicely built 4Runner. That's got to be on the table with my family size. I mean, honestly, 4Runners are really appealing in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, now there's the new Sequoia. I remember when we went in to do the BDR and Rob had that new Tundra and it's huge, but it did great. I don't know, like size wise, how the Sequoia compares to that, but if it's comparable to the Tundra, that might be worth looking at too. You would just have mounds of space.
Yeah. I think it's really close to the Tundra size. You know, my hang up is then it would be hard to get it up a trail like Boulder Basin. These are the things. It's like, I think I might do some kind of a weighting system. It's like, you know, is it comfortable to drive? Does it have like a modern interior or whatever? How functional off-road is it? Like how capable and functional off-road is it? Is it easy to drive off-road or hard to drive off-road? Because some of these rigs can do all the things, but they're kind of tricky to do all the things. And then there's kind of like aesthetics and then the intangibles. In any case, there's a lot of things going on in the Venture to Roam and Frontier State Overland world. And I'm hopeful that there'll be a few surprises for everybody along the way as we have, I think, probably what's going to be our best overlanding year ever, which is saying a lot because Idaho BDR was pretty amazing. So I really think this is going to be a fun year, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. Right now it's snowing and cold and windy and I'm getting some cabin fever. So I'm spending a lot of time daydreaming about this next summer. Can't come soon enough.
Agreed. Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for hanging out again. Thank you to all of you who are listening. Really, really appreciate you listening to this podcast. It's so fun to see a little podcast grow and more people listen to it and download it. So thank you. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't checked out our channel, Venture to Roam, please do youtube.com/Venture to Roam. If you haven't seen Frontier State Overland on Instagram, you should definitely go check out Chris. You get a very different perspective on some of the trips and behind the scenes things that we're doing, but he has lots of opinions on Toyotas too. So, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks again, Chris, and we'll see you next time.